If you've dipped even a single toe into the world of decentralized finance, you know that moment.
Oh, yeah.
The moment the information density just hits you like a wall. It's usually right when someone says you need to understand self-custody.
Right.
It feels less like an opportunity and more like, I don't know, a warning label written in some kind of complex legal jargon.
It is the single highest barrier to entry for mainstream adoption, and frankly, it's understandable why. I mean, in traditional finance, if you forget your bank password, what do? You call customer support.
Right, there's a reset button.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the fundamental contract in crypto is that you are your own bank.
Yeah.
You're your own vault manager, and you are your own security team.
And that shift from relying on an institution to this kind of radical personal responsibility, it's terrifying to most people.
It is.
And the consequence is just so absolute. If you fail to protect your private keys or if you lose them, your funds are gone
There's it
forever.
forever.
There's no appeal, no customer service form, no clawback, nothing.
Exactly. So our mission today is to move you from that feeling of fear, that, overwhelming sense of responsibility, to a feeling of mastery.
Okay.
We've gathered your sources on wallet typologies and operational security to clearly define the essential tools and, maybe more importantly, the mandatory security mindset required to safely operate in DeFi.
So this isn't just optional homework.
Not at all.
Yeah.
We're going to treat this knowledge as the foundational security stack for everything you do next.
Okay, let's unpack that security foundation. For those who follow the space, we know the basics. But the real challenge is understanding the relationship between the three core
The
elements.
trinity of self-custody.
Right. The public key, the private key, and the seed phrase. They sound similar, but confusing their functions is, well, it's the number one way people get robbed.
And that's where we have to start. We have to ground the definitions before we get into the
So
implications.
the public key.
The public key is the simplest component. It's your receiving address on the blockchain. It's the destination where people send you crypto.
So think of it like your public mailbox address, that long string of letters and numbers.
Zero X address.
Yeah, that 0x7422 thing. And crucially, it's totally safe to share that publicly.
You want to share it. It's how you get paid. It's what links you to that immutable ledger.
But that public key is, well, it's useless without its counterpart,
The private key.
the private key. So if the public one is the mailbox
This
address,
is the physical, unique key that opens that mailbox. It's what allows you to spend the funds that are inside.
okay, and this is where the cryptographic magic and the danger really lives, because the private key doesn't actually get broadcast across the network when you send something.
No, if it did, it would be stolen instantly.
Right.
What's so fascinating is how it works. It enables a mathematical process called a digital signature.
A signature.
So when you sign a transaction, the private key generates this unique cryptographic proof that verifies you're the owner of the funds, but it never ever reveals the key itself.
It's indisputable proof of ownership. So the critical warning comes down to this. If someone gets that private key, they can generate that proof of ownership anytime, from anywhere. They become you.
They own everything. They control everything.
And that leads us to the third part, the one that's maybe the most misunderstood, the seed phrase.
Or the recovery phrase, mnemonic phrase.
That sequence of 12 or 24 words that you get when you set up a new wallet, the thing a lot of new users just kind of jot down and forget about.
And we have to be absolutely crystal clear on this. The phrase IS, your wallet.
Say that again.
The phrase is your wallet, and it's the master key, the ultimate source of truth. It's way more important than the hardware device or the software you're using.
So why is that from a technical standpoint?
It's because of what we call hierarchical deterministic wallets, or HD wallets. That 12 or 24 word phrase is the foundational seed. It's used to mathematically generate every single private key for every single address you ever use
On all chains.
on all chains. It's basically the root password for your entire digital existence in DeFi.
Ah, okay, so that explains it. The physical device, the ledger or MetaMask on my phone, that's just a window.
It's just a convenient window that uses the keys that are derived from that phrase to show you your assets on the blockchain.
Right.
And this distinction, it spells out the three ultimate consequences you absolutely must internalize.
Okay, number one.
First, if you, say, accidentally drop your hardware wallet into the ocean, but you still have your seed phrase saved, your funds are 100% safe.
Because the device is irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant. You just buy a new one, type in the phrase, and you restore access.
Okay, second consequence, the horror story.
If you lose that seed phrase, the funds are unrecoverable. forever. You might see the money sitting there in your address on a Block Explorer.
Taunting you.
Exactly. But without that master key, they are locked in an account you can never open again.
And third. Right.
If someone, anyone, sees or gets that phrase, even if they're on the other side of the world and you have your device locked in a safe,
they can just recreate my wallet.
Instantly.
Yeah.
And drain your assets completely. That phrase is the single point of failure.
Wow. Okay, so that makes the seed phrase the most valuable thing you own in this entire space.
Without a doubt.
But let's get practical. If the phrase is the wallet, we still need different kinds of windows, as you put it, to access it. And that brings us to the wallet risk hierarchy.
Hot, cold, and smart wallets.
Let's start with hot.
Right, because our security needs change depending on what we're doing. So we start with the highest risk, which is, of course, the most convenient. Hot wallets.
These are the ones that are, by definition, connected to the internet. Browser extensions, mobile apps.
Your MetaMask, your Phantom.
Exactly. They're fantastic for speed. You can sign transactions instantly, swap tokens, mint an NFT. A couple of clicks and you're done.
But that convenience is their primary vulnerability. Because they're always online, they are constantly exposed to phishing sites, to keyloggers, to all sorts of malware on your computer.
And one of the most insidious threats, which our sources highlighted, is clipboard hijacking. We just don't think about how vulnerable copy-paste is.
It's terrifying. This malware sits silently, just monitoring your computer's memory for anything that looks like a crypto address.
That 0x string.
Exactly. The moment you copy your legitimate receiving address, the malware instantly, silently, replaces it with the hacker's address.
You paste it without looking, hit send.
And the sons are gone. To a thief.
So the best practice analogy here is crucial.
Treat a hot wallet exactly like your physical leather wallet.
Only carry your walking around money.
Exactly. Never store more crypto in a hot wallet than you can afford to lose in a heartbeat, because they are the lowest layer of operational security.
So if hot wallets are for daily spending, we need a fortress for savings.
And that's where cold wallets come in. These are hardware devices, your Ledger, your Trezor, those little USB-style sticks.
And these are mandatory.
Mandatory. For anyone holding significant assets, this is non-negotiable.
The genius here is the air gap, right?
That's the key. The private keys never, ever touch the internet. When you want to sign a transaction, the data is sent to the device. You confirm it on the little screen.
On the device itself.
Right, on the device. The signature is created securely inside the hardware chip.
And just the signature gets sent back?
The signature goes back to your computer to be broadcast, but the private key never leaves that secure element. This makes them just exponentially safer against all that online malware we were talking about.
Okay, so cold wallets are a must-have for anything valuable, but what about this third category? Smart contract wallets. This feels like where everything is heading, but account abstraction can be an intimidating phrase for a learner.
It sounds complex, but the idea is actually simple. Smart contract wallets replace that single vulnerable private key with a piece of code. A smart contract that controls your assets.
And that code opens up new possibilities for better user experience, right? Better UX.
Huge improvements.
So what are the immediate practical benefits for an average user? Because that seed phrase management is what turns so many people away.
The benefits are massive. First, social recovery. Instead of a single piece of paper, you could designate trusted parties, friends, family, other devices as guardians.
So if I lose my access?
They can authorize the smart contract to move your funds to a new address you control, but they never see your private key themselves.
That feels like the decentralized customer service helpline we've always needed.
It really does. Second, they allow for programmable security. Mm-hmm. You can set up rules in the contract, like daily spending limits.
So if a thief gets control, they can only drain, say, $50 a day.
Instead of the whole vault instantly. And third, they can simplify transaction fees. You could bundle transactions or pay gas in a different token. It just abstracts away a lot of that network complexity.
That sounds incredible, but we need to pause and make sure we don't confuse any of these, hot, cold, or smart, with a centralized exchange.
That comparison is vital. When we talk about a wallet, you, the user, control the keys. That's self-custody.
But when you leave your funds on an exchange like Coinbase or Binance,
they control the private keys. That is custodial control. They are the bank.
So if they control the keys, they control the crypto. If they get hacked or go bankrupt or just freeze your account,
you lose everything. It's the ultimate centralization risk. Self-custody is the only path to true digital ownership.
Which brings up the important question. Now that we know what the tools are and why they matter, how do we actually apply this?
Right. How do you use this when you're setting up for the first time? Security is operational, not just theoretical.
Okay, so let's run through the mandatory setup checklist for a learner. This is the four-step blueprint your sources insist on.
Step one, download a reputable hot wallet like MetaMask, but use it strictly for daily interactions, small amounts. This is your expendable budget.
Step two, immediately buy a cold wallet, a Ledger, a Trezor. This is not optional for your savings.
And make sure you buy it directly from the manufacturer.
Why is that so important?
To avoid supply chain attacks, where a malicious third party might tamper with the device or the software before it even gets to you.
Oof. Okay. Step three.
When you generate your seed phrase, you must write it down on paper.
Only on paper.
Only on paper. And the reason this rule is so strict, and this is where I want your skepticism, is because the moment that phrase touches a digital medium, it becomes vulnerable.
I have to challenge that, though. A tiny piece of paper, it can be lost in a fire, ruined by water, just thrown away. How is that physical fragility better than a triple encrypted file on multiple hard drives?
It's a trade-off. It's about probability and exposure. Your encrypted file is subject to millions of digital attack vectors, all happening globally, constantly probing networks.
Okay.
Your paper phrase is only subject to localized physical threats. The goal is to minimize the attack surface. Digital storage, even on an air-gapped drive, requires you to plug it in eventually, and that introduces risk. Paper is genuinely offline. It's protected from all digital extraction.
So we're trading massive global digital risk for small localized physical risk.
That's the trade-off, exactly. Which leads us to step four. Store that paper securely, offline, and critically in multiple safe locations.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Never. Don't rely on one safe or one hiding spot. You need redundancy. Maybe even split the phrase into two parts and store them in geographically separate locations.
Okay, so that's set up. Beyond that, we have to talk about the constant external threats, phishing scams.
They are the primary tool of the crypto thief. They are sophisticated, they are constant, and they're designed to exploit human error.
They'll create fake websites, fake support accounts, send you emails saying your wallet's been compromised.
Or that they need to validate your funds, and they will always, always try to trick you into entering those 12 or 24 words.
So here's the absolute rule.
You must never, under any circumstances, type your seed phrase into any website, application, or chat window.
That's the alarm bell that has to ring every single time.
Every time. And also be vigilant about the less obvious risks. We said don't store it digitally, but that includes just a quick snap with your phone. Never screenshot your seed phrase.
Because malware and cloud backups are designed to steal images from your camera roll.
They'll find it.
And lastly, on the social engineering side.
If you take one thing away, it's this. Legitimate services, a wallet provider, a hardware maker, a DeFi protocol, they will never ask for your private key or your seed phrase.
Ever.
If someone asks for it, no matter how official they sound, they are 100% trying to rob you.
It's a scam.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Ultimately, security is practice. It's not just knowledge. It's actively knowing how to test your recovery process, knowing the best practices for every different use case.
Okay, so this has been a really comprehensive deep dive. From fear to mastery, hopefully. Let's reinforce the four core lessons you need to carry forward.
First, your keys, your crypto. Ownership is control of the private key, which comes from the seed phrase.
Second, the seed phrase IS the wallet. It's the master password, more valuable than any device.
Third, hot for daily, cold for savings. Use hot wallets for small daily spending and make cold wallets mandatory for any significant savings.
And finally, never share private keys or your seed phrase, ever. No legitimate entity will ever ask for them.
That mastery of key management is step one. It's how you protect your vault.
Right.
But if owning the key is step one, if that's the point where you grant yourself access, we have to consider what happens after you use that key to sign a transaction.
Ah, yes. When you sign a transaction, especially with a hot wallet, you're not just sending money. You're often granting a smart contract ongoing permissions, approvals.
Approvals to spend your tokens. And if you sign a malicious approval, the safest wallet in the world can still be drained.
Because you gave them the permission to do it.
Exactly. So understanding key management sets the stage for the next layer. Exploring security fundamentals like token approvals, revoke mechanisms, and what to do the moment you hit confirm.
That's the difference between protecting your keys and protecting the power your keys grant.
That's the next deep dive.